If you go online and look at pictures of the Judean wilderness, they would remind you of Cache Creek. You know what it's like driving up there in the summertime through those areas. You got hills going up, little valleys in the bottom, small little river and sage bush, and it's dry, dry, and very hot. That is like the Judean wilderness. Inhospitable, a place of wild beasts, a place that is cold at night, burning hot by day, where there may even be roaring lions. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're continuing with the message on the temptation of Jesus. You read of this in Matthew chapter 4. We read that Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Oh, the subtlety of the tempter. If thou be the Son of God. There he is right away with a question mark, and taunting him to do the very thing that was contrary to God's will. He was led there to be tested. He was led there to fast. But commanding stones to be made bread, well, that was outside of the will of God. And how the devil used those very things that looked perhaps like bread and would have tempted the Lord visually. And no doubt the Lord had power. He could have satisfied his hunger instantly. But no, he resisted and he conquered Satan at every point. And he used the word of God to resist the devil. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We need to learn how to battle against the devil by taking our cue from the Lord Jesus himself. So stay tuned as we turn now to our message from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, as we let the Bible speak on how to battle against the devil. I think that we should not be surprised when Satan comes to us at our lowest point, when we are at our weakest and weariest. Maybe we are battle fatigued. Maybe we're worn physically, weak, maybe ill. Maybe repeated health problems have worn us down, and Satan comes along to attack, and he would destroy. And weary souls at that point need the help of the Savior. And I want to suggest to you tonight that that's the point where you need to cry to the Lord. It's not the time to give up. It's not the time to throw in the towel. It's the time to lean on Jesus and to learn of him and to find your strength and your succor from the Lord himself. Now, it was at that point that the devil tempted him, when there was this appearance of stones which looked similar to bread. Look at verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, I would have to use a bit of imagination to think of what these stones would have looked like. But I don't think that it's a stretch of the imagination to say that from a distance, that those round stones would have the impression to a hungry man of a loaf of bread. And the Lord Jesus himself ministered in those terms, that if you ask of the Father, he will not give you a stone if you ask for bread. And so there's this similarity. And Satan says to the Lord, "You could turn those stones into bread. Look at them. They're just like loaves. And if thou be the Son of God, you could do that." And here is the subtlety, the wickedness of the tempter as he comes along. And the devil uses the eye gate. What Jesus was looking at, these stones, had a similarity to bread, and the devil used that, just as he did in the garden. Whenever Eve saw the fruit, she desired it and she took of it. And it was through the eye gate that the tempter got to her. Don't you be surprised that the things you watch, the things you see, the things you look at, the things you study, will be the thing that the devil will use to attack and to assault you. The eyes were the channel of temptation. And then another thing that the devil showed the Lord when he took him up into a high mountain, he showed him, verse 8, he took him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. What a salesman the devil is. You know what a salesman does when you walk onto the auto lot and they're trying to sell all those cars? Well, they want you, well, let's sit inside. Go have a feel at the texture of the covering on the seats. Get your hands on the steering wheel. Let's start it up and let you hear the purr of the engine. And then take it for a test drive. Take your time. I'll be going in here and you can join me for a while for a cup of coffee, but you just sit there and enjoy the feel of the vehicle. That's the power of salesmanship. And here's the devil, and he takes the Lord Jesus up into this high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world. Have a look. All these are yours. All these are yours if you will but fall down and worship me. Oh, the craft, the subtlety of the wicked one. Let us not underestimate the power of our enemy. And let us run to the Lord, who has gotten the victory and demonstrated that he is not defeated, and he will give you the victory. He is able to succor you in any time of temptation. He will not leave you when you call on him, but he will come to you. All the more reason to have a life of prayer, Christian. All the more reason for you to pray at home, to pray often, to pray in the morning before you face temptations. Pray that God will protect you and keep you from the sly, foxy attacks of this tempter. Now, another thing that the Lord was triumphed when Satan attacked by creating doubts. The devil loves the question mark. That's his favorite key stroke. He loves the question mark. And here Satan comes with all his doubts. And you'll notice the if in verse 3. If thou be the Son of God. Now, I wasn't meaning since you're the Son of God. Since you are. No, he was putting the question mark. If thou be the Son of God. Now, you know that at the very first in Genesis, when he tempted Adam and Eve, he said, hast God said? Did God really say that? Has God said that? And Adam and Eve fell for the subtlety of the wicked one. Now, look at verse 3 and look at verse 6 and you'll see this questioning. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Verse 6, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Oh, the subtlety of this wicked one. And he moves right on in to quote Scripture. To quote the Scriptures, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Right out of the Psalms. Right out of Psalm 90. This protection of angels. Well, if you do this, God will protect you. But of course, the real accusation and the question was the deity of the Lord Jesus. His Godhood being the Son of God. And here was the twist. But the Lord triumphed over all this. And when the devil came and said, it is written, the Lord Jesus retorted every time, it is written, it is written. Here is a great help to us. And here is a great example to us. When the tempter comes with all the doubts, and we're living in a world where questioning is going on all the time, and we have to resort to the Scriptures. It is written. It is
written and stick with the written word. How do we know? The Bible tells me so. That's good enough for me. And if I check my interpretation, if I do my homework, that I have read the Bible right, I've understood it in its context, God said it, I believe it. And I'm not going to give an inch to the devil, and I'm not going to walk into his trap. Now, you'll notice another art of the wicked one, and that was that the Lord Jesus would presume the Father's protection. And he said to him in verse 6, it is written, he, and here's the devil quoting the Bible now, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, here is the devil tempting the Lord. You just throw yourself down. The God of heaven will send his angels to catch you. That is the sin of presumption. You and I must not pray for protection and then walk in front of a bus and think that God's going to protect us at that moment. It doesn't work like that. That would be the wicked works of the devil. Jesus didn't fall for that. He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we're not to tempt the Lord. We're not to do stupid things, walking into temptation, into evil or danger, and think that because we're a Christian, we're a child of God, that God will send an angel to protect us in our stupidity. No, I think many have been deceived by the devil even on that score. Now, I think that there are some here tonight, maybe, and your faith is very small, and you're filled with doubts. You are fertile soil for the devil. He just loves to plant seeds in hearts that are filled with doubt. And maybe you're living with a lot of uncertainty. Uncertainty is the devil's playground. You need to do what Jesus did and to make the Bible your ground of certainty. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It sounds age old, and maybe you've heard it over and over again through your Christian life, but it's true, and it's the safe ground for the Christian. Never put a question mark where God has put a period. That's it. If God said it, it's absolute. It's finished. There are some great promises in the Bible, and we've got to lay hold on them. Let's look at John 10:28 and see how the Lord has said to his children, sheep in this case, in John 10, it's all about sheep, referring, of course, to the elect people of God, those that are believers in the Lord. And here is a wonderful promise where Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And to clinch the nail. Now, when I was a boy, my dad taught me about clinching nails. In the farm, we were always making something or other, and you drive that nail through two pieces of wood, but to make sure it's going to stay there, you get a nail that's long enough that protrudes through the other side an inch or more, and you bang it over, and you bang it in on the other side. You clinch it. And you look at this verse in 28, and it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, not even the devil. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, here it is written. Here's the comfort zone of the Christian. Here's the assurance ground. Here is where you can do battle against the devil on safe territory. It is written. The Lord has stated it. It's promised. I'm standing on this with absolute certainty. Another great text that comes to mind is Philippians 1, verse 6. And here we have the Lord's promise to his people, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I was talking with somebody last night about this. There is a difference between God beginning the work of conviction in someone's heart and the work of conversion. There are people who have been under conviction who never get to heaven. They don't come to Christ. They don't believe the gospel. They reject it. They turn away from it. But where God begins his work of grace, regeneration, where that soul is born of the Spirit and given new life, that work is unstoppable until the day of glory. I believe in that golden chain, that whomsoever the Lord calls, he justifies, and whom he justifies, glorifies. And when God begins the work in the heart, he's going to perform. Look at that word in Philippians 1:6. If you don't get anything else tonight, get this: perform. And this is our God saying to you, I've begun a good work. I've begun the work of grace and salvation in your soul, and I'm going to perform it. I'm going to finish it. And you're going to be in heaven, and you're going to bring glory to God for all eternity. Now, let's go back to Matthew 4 again and look at some of these other ways in which the Lord triumphed over the appeals of the tempter. Verse 2, the devil tempted the Lord by the flesh to feed his hunger. In verse 5, this second round of temptation, the devil used the appeal to God's providential care. And Satan advised to abuse this protection. And so he comes to us and he appeals to our sense of security. You see, this is the balance, and there is a balance required here. Christians who have the absolute assurance of salvation must not let down their guard. If you've ever read the story of Pilgrim's Progress, and you have Pilgrim on his journey to the celestial city, you will realize that every stage there was new battles, new temptations, and various characters that would either discourage him or lead him astray. And you're on that journey tonight. You are a Christian on the way to glory, but you're not through yet. You're not through the gates. You're in enemy ground. And even in Doubting Castle, or Apollyon on the way, or Mr. Facing Both Ways, or whoever you meet, there's a battle on. And you must not let down your guard. And I think the Lord has certainly told us that over and over and over again. Now, it would be evident to me that the devil tried to kill the Lord in this occasion, taking him up into a high mountain and saying, cast yourself down. What? No, sorry, that was the pinnacle, up in the pinnacle of the building. And cast yourself down, verse 6, for it is written. And here is the devil trying to kill the Lord, to end his life right there. That was the plan, the plot, and the scheme. What are we to do? Well, the Lord says that we're to resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In the third round of temptation, Satan used the appeal to the glory of the world. Verses 8 and 9, and all of these things will I give you if you bow down and worship me, all the kingdoms of the world. I wonder, does the devil hold the dollar sign in front of you, or the gold, or the stock market, or whatever the material source of temptation? How many of God's people have brought themselves into distress and grief by seeking the material gain of this world? The gain of riches and earthly security, the promise of those things which can fall apart so quickly. And the devil uses that to his own end. And what's he wanting us to do? Worship him. Worship him. That really is the game and the aim and the object of the wicked one. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is of the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus inquiring of what he needed to do to be saved. And the Lord told him about keeping the law. And he said, oh, I've done all that. And then the Lord addressed his heart, said, sell all that thou hast and enter into the kingdom. And that rich young ruler, he went away very sorrowful. He made a choice that day. He made a wretched choice. He couldn't give up the things of this world because he was married to them. He was attached to them so greatly. But of course, the Lord saves his people, and he delivers his people from the tempter in many ways. I just love the way this story ends. The devil leaveth him. That was a victory in itself, wasn't it? If we just put the period there, that would be a victory. The devil left him. And thankfully, the devil doesn't always attack the Christian. He gives up at times. He goes away and he goes somewhere else and leaves us alone. And maybe the Lord steps in and breaks his power and he leaves us. We pray for to be spared from the attack of the wicked one. We pray that we will have days of peace and days of grace, days of God's presence, days of victory, when the devil seems afar off and we're left without that awful power of temptation. But then as a seeming reward, the angels came and ministered unto him. You'll see how this was a spiritual battle. You have the wicked one, the archangel Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the angel of darkness. And when he leaves, the angels of light, the angels from heaven, they come and minister to the Son of God, sent by the Father, no doubt. The Father who had pronounced, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now he sends these angels to minister to his Son and to strengthen him in this time. What a victory, what a blessing. It is a great blessing and victory for the Christian. And when we get the victory over the devil, we do have the ministry of heaven to our souls. There is joy, there is a blessedness, because it is a spiritual battle. And when we say no to the devil and we resist him, there is the commendation of heaven and blessing to our souls. And so I trust tonight that the Lord will lead you to that ground of victory. And maybe you need to pray, "Lord, would you just end the devil's activity against me? Bring it to an end. The devil leaveth him." And that victory can be yours tonight by calling on the Lord, pleading the promises and the very grace of the Savior. What a wonderful, wonderful, it's not just an example, but it's a narrative of real facts. A narrative of real facts for us to stand on as God's people.
Thank you again for the privilege of bringing the Word of God to you, to your heart, and to strengthen you in your faith. And I trust that today God has spoken, and I'm thinking of these particular texts and the issue of assurance. The very thing that the devil wants to rob you of is your assurance of salvation, and he's always out to put the question mark, the seed of doubt, whether it's really true or not. And I hope that you've got these verses now lined up in your mind and in your heart. We looked at John 10:28, that none shall pluck them out of my hand. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and none shall pluck them out of my hand. And then there's another verse later that says, neither out of my Father's hand. And so these verses, I advise that you memorize them. You locate them in your Bible, John 10:28. Also, Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't let that fall. Don't lose that assurance. Let that blessedness fill and thrill your heart at all times. Because if you let go of those things, you give the devil the advantage. You make your bed, your heart to be a seedbed for the devil. But where you keep your hand on those promises and statements of God's word, well, you guard, you fortify yourself against the very accusations of the devil. Now, another area that I mentioned in the message today, and that is the appeal to providential care. And very often Christians think that when various things happen to them, that God is no longer caring for them. Well, be absolutely sure that if you think that God has forsaken you, well, Satan will get the advantage. But remember the truth, God will never forsake. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And these are the truths that we must fight against the devil with. And I trust that you're doing that, and that you are seeking to stand strong against the powers of the devil. Thank you for staying with us, and I trust you'll be blessed. Now are coming up the announcements at the end of the program.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.